And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. And this last week, as I was praying for a word from the Lord reminded me of something I used to do when I did kids ministry. And it's kind of fun because some of those songs Nola led with reminded me of kids ministry. And so when we did kids ministry, we would have a theme every month. And one month we had hair as a theme. That was our theme, hair, H-A-I-R, hair. Yeah, yeah. And what was so cool about it is I would pick a theme, and then I would see what the Bible had to say. And so I don't remember what all I found when I did hair month, and I would have to do four sermons on hair, you know. But I just felt like that's what the Lord was saying. So, and it's really, I would encourage you to do this sometime. Just take some thought, and if you have a very good Bible program, then let the Bible just go through and just see what the Bible has to say about it. And that's what we're going to do today about hair. So let's pray. Father, thank you for today, and we ask that your blessing be upon your word and open our hearts for what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text is we're going to be jumping around, obviously, but this text is from Genesis 25:25, and it's talking about Jacob and Esau when they were born. And it says, "And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called him Esau." So we know Esau was Jacob's brother. He was the firstborn. He was colored in red hair over his whole body, and Esau just means hairy. You know, when I named Harrison, Deborah's father said, "I'll call him Harry," and she said, "You better not. I don't want him called Harry. His name is going to be Harrison." So after he was born, and we were in Nebraska at the time, and her dad saw him, he says, "Hello, Fuzzy." And he's called him Fuzzy ever since then. He died a few years ago. And every once in a while, Nathan will rag Harrison, and he'll say, "Hello, Fuzzy." And so he honored his word. He didn't call him Harry. So when you see Esau, just think of Harry, because that's really what the name means. They also called his descendants Edom, which means red. And Edom, of course, in Bible days would be today modern-day Jordan. And so many of the Jordanians are probably descendants of Esau. And just a little history there. What can we learn from the story of Jacob and Esau? Well, God told them that two nations were warring in their womb, and we certainly still see it today as the children of Israel are at odds with all of their neighboring people. And so one might say, well, the lesson is about internal struggles, and we often have internal struggles. We have struggles sometimes with our thought life. We're told to cast down imaginations and things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. But in the New Testament, Jacob and Esau are not referred to in terms of the struggle, be it physical or emotional or spiritual, but rather in the works of the flesh versus spirit life. Because if you remember, Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And so it is more, the lesson is more about the flesh versus the spirit. Because anytime we give in to the flesh, we are simply saying that I am willing to trade my eternal heritage for physical gratification. That's what Esau did. And the writers of the New Testament say, and he could never get it back, though he sought it with tears. And how many times have people became morally bankrupt because they gave into the flesh? And it always ends in tears. The pleasures of sin for a season has a bitter aftertaste, and it ends in often in heartache and tears. So the next topic or person of interest in our study of hair this morning, we're going to look at Numbers chapter 6. And I have it in my notes. I'll read it to you. It's, if you want to turn there, it's 6, 1 through 5. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor or of grapes, or eat moist grapes or dry grapes. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation shall no razor come to his head, until the day be fulfilled in which he shall separate himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of his hair of his head grow." And so this is the law given by God to Moses of the oath or the vow of a Nazarite. And we often think of the vow of a Nazarite of having long hair. But it's interesting, you know, and I knew it was strong drink. I didn't remember that they really couldn't eat any kind of grape, according to the law. Whether it's a dried one, which would be raisins, right, or any of that. And they let their hair grow and so on. The purpose of a vow, of course, to God is to show your consecration to the Lord. Jesus told us it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it, so you really better think it through before you make a vow to God. And that brings us into, of course, the story of Samson and Delilah. And the passage from Judges 13, 3 through 5 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said to her, Behold now, you're barren and you bear not, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for he shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And so we often remember the story of Samson and Delilah and his fall, but it's interesting that God told his mother that he will be have an oath of a Nazarite from the womb. He will be separated unto God for a purpose from his very womb, a lot like John the Baptist, right? And without going through all of the story of Samson and Delilah, one of the verses, I think, we know his failure. You know, he gave in. He was a skirt chaser. He was a mighty man of God. He did great exploits. He really began to do exactly what his mission was, and that is to stop the advancement of the Philistines, and all of the stories, you know, the jawbone of an ass, you know, heaps upon heaps with a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000, or was it 1,000 or 100 men? Anyway, it's a fish story. It gets bigger as you tell it. Anyway, he killed a bunch of Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, and you know, he lifted great pillars of gates out, and there's that funny story of him catching foxes' tails on fire and burning up their fields of the Philistines. And so they had to find a way to stop him, and, you know, they used the woman Delilah, and he made up different stories until finally, beware men of women's tears. And so he told her all that was in his heart. And when she cut his hair, it wasn't really the strength of his hair, it was the strength of his vow, the oath of a Nazarite. And any time he was what I call the original promise keeper until he was a promise breaker. But one of the great things that seldom gets mentioned about the story of Samson and Delilah, after the Philistines took him and gouged out his eyes, and he's tied to one of those wheels that they walk around to grind the wheat, and his eye sockets, you know, you just see this picture of moral failure by Samson. But a verse I really love, because we've all made mistakes, we've all fallen short, is Judges 16:22, where it says, "Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaved." Aren't you glad that God is a God of second chances? Aren't you glad that no matter how much we may fail God, our hair can grow again, grace can come again, forgiveness will come again, and in his death, the epitaph of Samson is that he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life, as he had that boy lead him over to the pillar and all of this. You know, your picture, I doubt it was as big as the BOK, but it had to have had huge bleachers with thousands of Philistines. And he has the boy lead him over to the pillar, and he pulls the pillar down. And though he was killed, he killed more Philistines in his death than his entire life. So, the story of Samson. Next, we come to Absalom, 2 Samuel 14:25. But in all of Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his feet even to the crown of his head there was no blemish in him. And when he polled his head, for it was every year that he polled it, because his hair was heavy on him, meaning cut his hair, right? Therefore he polled it, he weighed the hair of his head, and it was 200 shekels after the king's weight. And so, the story of Absalom is a story of pride. It said he didn't have any blemishes. He had this long, black, wavy, rich hair. He was a ladies' man. You might think of it as, you know, I heard John Hagee had talked personally on more than one occasion with Elvis Presley. And you say, well, what does that have to do with it? Elvis Presley had no blemishes. He had dark hair. He was adored by millions of women, kind of like an Absalom. And John Hagee said, don't judge this man. You can't imagine what a curse his success has been to him. And only just this week, what was Elvis's wife's name? Priscilla? Yeah. Only just this last week, it's came out that maybe he didn't accidentally overdose. A suggestion by her that maybe he did it on purpose. Yeah. We can't imagine what a curse it would be to have millions of women adore you, not be able to go anywhere publicly. You might say, wow, wouldn't you like to have his money? Wouldn't you like to have, you know, not necessarily. And a person can get puffed up in pride with that kind of notoriety. And Absalom, that's what happened to him. And you know the story, he began to take the kingdom from his father by suggesting at the gate that, well, if I was the king, I would avenge you. I would do this differently. And he turned the heart of the people and brought about this great insurrection against David. And the very thing that was his beauty, his hair, became the very thing that became his demise. David had given strict orders to Abner not to kill his son. He loved his son. Abner was one of those loose generals that kind of was a man of war and is going to make his decision, whatever. And he was riding, Absalom was riding his donkey, trying to get away from David's soldiers when his hair got caught in the thicket of a tree. And he's hanging there on the tree and he has ran through by David's general, and David cried, "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." So, you know, pride comes before the fall, right? And that's certainly what happened to Absalom and his hair. Now we take a left turn and go to Elisha. Elisha is a man with no hair. And most of you know where I'm going with this. It's just one verse from 2 Kings 2:23. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel, and he was walking along the road, and some boys came out of the town and jeered at him. "Get out of here, Baldy," they said. "Get out of here, Baldy." Now, then the story goes that a female bear came out of the woods and cut these children to shreds. Bears have claws, two of them, okay? Bears have claws like steak knives. And they can take an arm off in one swipe of a man, a grown man. Nothing to contend with. And so, really, here the lesson is one of those about honoring the office of the man of God. You know, I really don't like talking about this because it sounds self-whatever. But regardless of who you're talking about, you have to respect the office. And here these kids, you know, making fun of Ball. He didn't do it. He didn't defend himself. He didn't say, shame on you boys. He's just walking down the road. And then God has this enormous object lesson for all of us as this bear comes out and slaughters these kids. You know, having done this for a while, when I started out in ministry, I had a lot of pride. I know I did. God called me. You know, you have to look back and say, God, why did you call me and all the mistakes I've made? And I can remember getting on Harrison in the sound booth because he messed up some, and I wish you could go, but you can't go back and undo those things. But I tell you, one of the things over the years I've learned is that, you know, the most important commodity that we have, a pastor has, is the people. It's not the equipment in the sound booth or any of that, you know. And every one of us have probably accidentally left the door unlocked, or, you know, or I've had several people in the sound booth that's accidentally not recorded something. And I just say, you know, hey, it's no big deal. It's all right. Even if you left the door unlocked and somebody carried something out, I would not get upset about that, because all of that's replaceable. Our most important commodity is the people. Now, having said that, there is still something that I get, I don't know what the word is, that a conviction that is strong to me. And that is defending the Word of God. To me, that's my job, right? To guard against biblical error or heresy. Do what? Now, I'm not mad about it. That's my job, to defend against biblical error, heresy. If my mother was still living and came to Sunday school and she said something that was not scriptural, I would correct her. My own mother. You say, well, that seems disrespectful. It would be more disrespectful to allow something to be said that is not scriptural and not correct it. So if I've ever done that to you, please do not take it personal. Because unlike the sound booth, the key at the door, or any of that, that's just what I have to do. And so, you know, end of that, let's move on. So anyway, the idea is that it's the office, right? Not the man. We have to respect the office. Job, just a couple of hodgepodge verses before we get into another person. Job 4:14, I thought this was interesting. Fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. I've read Job, and I don't even remember this. Probably just read right past it. Everybody knows what it's like for the hair of your arm to stand up. But he says, this spirit passed before my face, and the hairs of my arms or my flesh stood up. Isn't that interesting? You know, man is not just what we see. We are spirits, and our spirit man can recognize spirits. And there is an outward thing that can happen. If you've ever watched a scary movie and you get those tingles up your spine or your hair stands up, those are spirits, right? Most of these scary movies, I don't watch the demonic ones. I used to watch Frankenstein as a kid, and that was pretty scary. I remember Red Crawley. Some of you guys know Red Crawley. He was a retired military cook and then retired from the McAllister Penitentiary. And he told me one time, he said, Brother Roger, they have the pit. It's the lowest place in the penitentiary where all the murderers are. And he said, and I wouldn't even begin to tell you publicly some of the stories he told me that has happened there. Pretty bad. But he said, when you walk down that aisle between those prison bars where all these murderers are, He said, the hairs on your arms stand up. Same thing that Job said. The demonic influence that's going on there. So, just another hair story. A couple of Psalms, Psalm 69:4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Now, that would be bad if you knew people hated you more than the hairs of your head and that they wanted to destroy me. Psalm 68:21. But God shall wound the head of my enemies and the hairy scalp of such as one that goes on still in his trespass. And so that would be a verse for someone that thinks that they can sin away and not face their day of judgment. Isaiah tells us that it's not over till it's over. And even in your old age, I am he, God says, and even to your gray hairs I will carry you. That's comforting for me. I have made you, I will bear you, even I will carry you and deliver you. And so, you know, that is Isaiah 46:4. And so even as we get into the ripe old years of our life and our hair is gray, God says, I don't forget you. Maybe you met me when you were young, but even when your hair is gray, I will carry you. There's an interesting verse in Daniel 4:33 about Nebuchadnezzar. We remember Nebuchadnezzar did not want to honor God. And it says, the same hour the thing fell upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass like oxen. His body was wet with dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. I doubt God will turn us over to this kind of thing like Nebuchadnezzar. But it was all about not honoring God. Amen. He looked, if you remember the story, he looked and Babylon, ancient Babylon, was one of the seven wonders of the world. They had these hanging grape vineyards that somehow they hung instead of went up. And it was enormous. The Babylonian Empire was enormous, and Nebuchadnezzar went out and he looked at this vast panorama that he had built, and he said, look what I have done. And God says, you fool, you bonehead. You know, God is the one who raises up kings and deposes kings, and anything that you and I have, we have because of God's goodness, not because of our skill or talent or anything. And we need to be careful that we give God the honor and the glory for anything we had, lest God humbles us as he did Nebuchadnezzar. Which brings us to Jesus' words in Matthew 5:36, that we shouldn't boast, that we shouldn't swear by our head, because we cannot make one hair black or white. We're not God. Don't boast. Don't say, you know, I'm so good, I'm so smart, I'm so whatever. God could make one hair. You might say, well, yeah, we can. We can make our hairs black now, you know. Comes in a bottle, but that's temporarily. You can't make it permanently black. You know, speaking of hair, there's something that I noticed because I observe things sometimes. And this is really curious to me. There's a brother I know, Rick Garcia. I don't know if anybody knows Rick. He's obviously the Garcia name, you know, is Hispanic in nature. But he has a big, prominent black beard that is now graying the last time I saw him. Happens to all of us. But I've noticed this before, even when my hair started graying, that the hair that's gray is farther from the face than the dark hair. Now, if you colored your hair with a bottle, it would be exactly the opposite. You know, and as it grew out, you would see the dark hair outward and the gray hair that's growing in. But hair follicles are alive. And so you can have gray out here and dark closer to the face. And it's an oddity. I don't understand it. And some scientists may be able to tell you. But all I can say is that the hair follicles, you know, are when they're in your skin, they're communicating with your body. They're alive. And so, anyway, that has nothing to do with the sermon. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But I can't change my hair color. And the point Jesus said about that is because only God can do that, then I have no reason to boast. He says, don't swear by your head. You can't make one hair white or black. Another character that speaks of hair is Mary. And she stood at Jesus' feet behind him weeping, and then she got down and she began to wash his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed him with oil, with ointment. That's Luke 7:38. And then in verse 44, Jesus turned to the woman, and he says to Simon the Pharisee, whose house he's in, see this woman, I entered into her house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. What this says to me is that everyone can worship Jesus. You have something you can do for the Lord. Amen. This woman had a past. She's crying because where there's much sin, there's much grace. And she felt God's love and forgiveness, and that can be overwhelming at times when you know what you've done. And so she washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her long hair. But in contrast to Absalom, whose hair was a source of pride, hers became a source of ministry to the Lord. Amen? And so whatever talent you have, and you may say, well, I don't have any talent. I don't have any. Do you have hair? Do you have a shirt? Do you have, you know, a jar of peanut butter you can give to someone that's poor? You've got something you can do for the Lord. Nobody can ever say, I don't have anything. Mary showed us with her hair that you can worship the Lord. Amen. And so we need to trust the Lord and not be afraid. Jesus told us in Luke 12:7, but even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. I've been meditating on this verse since I prepared my sermon Thursday. You know, when you think about the hairs on your head are numbered, you know, oftentimes we cry and we say, Lord, why aren't you helping me? Or Lord, you don't know what I'm going through. Or Lord, you know, I feel this or that, you know. And you know how you feel, but you don't know how many hairs you have on your head. Do you know how many hairs you have, Karen? I don't know how many hairs. I can't tell you I got 4,000 or 5,000 or 200 or whatever. There's things that God knows about me that I don't know about me. Think about that for a minute. There are parts of my life that God knows about me. You ever heard about people who went to see a psychologist and they begin to talk about their past, and all of a sudden they remember something that happened in their past that was locked up in some recesses of the brain? God knows it all. He knows your hurts, your pains, your past, your fears, your anxieties. He knows the way you work better than the way that you know. And he says, the very hairs of your head, God knows, your Father knows, so don't be afraid. Amen? Don't fear. God knows you better than he knows your needs before you pray. He sees the sparrows when you fall. And so don't be afraid. Trust in the Lord. Trust him. You can trust the Lord better than you can trust anybody else. He's got your back. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? So if God says it'll be okay, it'll be okay. In Luke 21:17, Jesus tells us we're going to be hated in the last days of all men for my name's sake. But then in the next verse, 21:18, he says, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. You say, well, what about those Christians that were martyred over in the Middle East by ISIS? Guess what? When they got to heaven, they had every one of those hairs. Every one of them. See, oftentimes we look at life as ending with death. But when we become Christians, we know that death has no hold on us. We may move out of our tent, but we will never die. We may move out of this earthly tent into our mansion, but we will never die. And not one hair of our head will perish. You know, when you see the word perish, oftentimes it means hell. Right? Shall not perish, but have eternal life. Right? Not one hair of your head will perish. And so it's going to be okay. It's really going to be okay. No matter what you may be facing today, no matter what you may have went through, it's going to be okay. God loves you and has a plan for your life. Amen. Hallelujah. I got one more verse, Acts 27:34. It's really along the same line. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat. Now this is when Paul was on the ship, remember? And all these guys thought they were going to die because there's this huge storm and it's just battering the ship. They've thrown all the tackle aboard. They haven't eaten. They've got just a little bit of food. And Paul says, come on guys, take some meat for your health. You're going to die. For there shall not a hair fall from your head of any of you. And you know, that one is kind of one of those great stories that even in life you can trust God. Even in the midst of the most horrifying event of your life, you can trust God. That eating meat is likened unto just going on with life and not giving up. Or just trusting God and going to sleep. I think I told the story when I was on leave. We came up to visit my parents one time, and my mom woke us up in the middle of the night saying, your dad's having chest pains. And I got up and said, well, no, he can drive himself. You go back to sleep. And Deborah's like, we're not going to go back to sleep. Well, yeah, after we get through praying, I'm going back to sleep. And I prayed and I went back to sleep. You see, that's like eating meat when you think your ship's about to go down. It's called, I'm going to trust God. Amen? So I prayed, and I went back to sleep. The next thing I know, I hear them, and we're back. I said, what'd the doctor say? We didn't even get there. We hadn't been about 5 minutes away, and everything got okay, and we just came back home. Woo! Come on, somebody. That's the God we serve. So just to review, Jacob and Esau, faith versus works, spirit versus the flesh. Samson, the failure of the flesh, but God's grace. Absalom, the power of pride. Elisha's bald head, God's chosen one. Job's hair stood up, a spirit world, it's real. Isaiah 46, not even in old age, God remembers you always. Nebuchadnezzar, honor God or face the consequences. Don't swear by your head. Mary's tears and hair were enough to worship Jesus. And God knows me better than I know myself. And so I need to trust him and not be afraid. Amen. Let's all stand. Come on up, Nola. Amazing what you can learn just about hair, huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am so thankful that God loves me just as I am. I'm glad that he gave me a fur coat for fig leaves that I didn't have to pay for it. I'm glad he gave me salvation through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I didn't have to pay for it. And so, Lord, we just pray this morning that you would help us to remember some of these great object lessons, some of these wonderful object lessons through your word of people with and without hair. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to not be proud, prideful. You'd help us to be humble. Help us to not be like Absalom and Nebuchadnezzar. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us to not be like Esau, who traded his eternal birthright for a bowl of soup. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to remember that you know us better than we know ourselves, that you know the number of hairs in our head, and that you told us to not be afraid, that we're more precious than sparrows, just to trust you. Forgive us for the times that we freak out when crisis come. Help us to have the kind of faith that we just eat our meal or go to sleep or whatever and just say, God is in control. God's got this. God will watch over me. He loves me. As we do, Lord, we know that we will continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who demonstrated his love for us when a crown of thorns pierced his head and his hair was matted with blood to show us just how much God truly loves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maestro, whatever you want.
Let's do that first song we did, because okay. We're talking about how mighty our God is.
All right.
What a mighty
God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. God bless you. Give someone a big hug before you go.